Their role is only to hand themselves over to the team of experts, the stylists, the trainers, the decorators, the designers, the voice coaches, as they watch themselves, their home, their body, their car, their singing career being utterly remade and transformed. It's really a show not about the subject, but about the experts. And sometimes they have assignments like do a lot of stomach crunches, but they're not measured according to their personal creativity. They are measured on how faithfully they follow the advice of these experts. Their one job is at the end when they look in the mirror and gasp with delight at the new them. So I do think it's somehow fitting that in the first year of Iraq's occupation, Americans, you know, were watching it on TV, flipping between watching shabby homes being bulldozed and replaced with suburban palaces on trading spaces, or watching normal, attractive women cut and transformed into super surgerized Barbies on The Swan. And meanwhile, on Fox and CNN, it was Iraq that was under the knife, put in the hands of a team of experts who had just swooped into the country, taken a quick, disdainful look around, and decided everything must go. That's what Paul Bremer did when he arrived in Iraq. He'd never been to the country before, but the first thing he did was lay off 500,000 people. Relics of Iraq's Stalinist past, he said. Gone. Iraq's army, gone. That worked out very well, as we'll see. Iraq has 200 state-owned companies. They're the sort of center of Iraq's economy. Bremer took a quick glance around. 1 month after he arrived in Baghdad, he said, everything must go. They're all for sale. He took a quick leaf through Iraq's constitution and decided, too, would have to be shredded. He wrote himself 100 new laws, Paul Bremer's infamous orders. Paul Bremer had absolute authority. Lakhdar Brahimi, the UN envoy to Iraq, once got a little carried away in a radio interview and described Bremer as Iraq's dictator. He got in trouble, obviously. People get in trouble for telling the truth. But that is who Paul Bremer was. He could think of laws, and he could write them, and then he could sign them. There was no debate. That's why they were able to impose more radical economic reforms, more radical what's called structural adjustment programs on Iraq in 6 months than the International Monetary Fund has managed in 3 decades in Latin America. He had, of course, his team of experts from Halliburton and Bechtel and DynCorp. There was no role for Iraq's experts whatsoever, Iraq's PhDs, the people who had built the electricity structures, the people who had built the power plants. They were supposed to just gasp with delight at the modern innovations that Halliburton and Bechtel had brought. Everything had to be imported, even most of the workers. Reconstruction was always a misnomer for what was being done in Iraq. With USAID's contracts that they handed out before the war, some of them after the war, it was a kind of a country in a box that was designed in Washington to be assembled in Iraq. It was not reconstructive surgery. It was hardcore plastic surgery, Iraq as the Swan. You can scarcely imagine a more dramatic transformation of a country, to rewrite all of its laws. The Economist magazine described Bremer's economic reforms as the wish list for foreign investors. They called it a capitalist dream. They allowed for 100% foreign ownership for foreign companies, and they could take 100% of their profits out of the country. A 15% flat tax, which is actually this Republican hobby horse, which they're always trying to bring in here, but they can never quite do because of this pesky thing called democracy. People get in the way. In Iraq, there was nobody to negotiate with. Paul Bremer was writing the rules. And it was interesting because Iraqi business people who had thought that they were just going to get a regular free market economy suddenly found themselves living in this somebody else's utopia. And they had this meeting the Association of Iraqi Businessmen had a meeting with the head of private sector development for Paul Bremer, one of the experts. His name is Michael Fleischer. He's Ari Fleischer's brother. Not only had he never been to Iraq, but he'd never held a diplomatic post. But he felt that he could pull this off because he was a corporate turnaround specialist. And Iraq was the mother of all turnarounds, which is actually another quote from Thomas Foley, another one of Bremer's team of experts. They had this meeting with Michael Fleischer, and they said, you know, we're going to be driven out of business. We can't compete with Walmart. We've just come out of 12 years of sanctions, and the electricity is still out. How are we supposed to compete in this market? And, you know, these weren't socialists. These were businessmen, but they realized they were all going to be driven out of business. And Michael Fleischer said, he sort of sounded like the guy on Survivor, he said, only the best of you will survive. And then he said, you know, you guys are lucky. The entire Republican Party is envious of your tax code, which is just, you know, they were absolutely explicit that they were living out their ideological fantasies that they couldn't even achieve at home. So the idea, what was interesting about this process was that it was never treated as in any way in conflict with the stated goal of bringing democracy to Iraq. The idea was that they were just modernizing, adjusting. None of these were treated as what they were, which is profound policy decisions that were going to affect the kind of country Iraqis would inherit. They would use words like, instead of government, which is what they were building, they would call it governance. And Thomas Foley, the guy who described Iraq as the mother of all turnarounds, he said he didn't know what the big deal was, because really what they were doing was giving a gift to the Iraqi people, that gift being their own country. So, of course, the role that had been assigned to Iraqis was the same role that's assigned to contestants on all of these reality TV shows, which is just to look in the mirror and gasp with joy at their shiny new modern country. But it didn't work out that way, as we all know. Iraqis didn't react as they anticipated. They reacted as if 500,000 of them had just lost their jobs at a time when unemployment was at 67%. They acted as if foreign workers were flooding into their country, taking jobs that they believed were theirs, paid for with their own oil money. In many cases, you know, in this country, we often hear our tax dollars are going, down the tubes and are being misspent in Iraq. In fact, very little U.S. tax money has been spent on reconstruction, and I'll come back to that later. Most of it has been Iraq's own oil money, $20 billion for this exercise. And they reacted as if their country was, in fact, being sold out and transformed without their involvement, without their consent. Privatization without representation. And they started to resist. At first, most of the resistance to these policies was actually peaceful resistance. Iraqis using some of the freedoms that they did have to say that this was not the kind of country that they wanted. So you started to see very critical articles appearing in these newspapers, in these newly opened newspapers, and on new global Arabic television stations like Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya. You started to see strikes on the streets of Baghdad, demanding jobs and better wages. And horrors of horrors, Iraqis started to have views of their own. They always had views of their own, but their occupiers found out about them. And there was this poll that was conducted in Iraq that really, I think, had a huge impact on the relationship that the Bush administration would have with the idea of genuine democracy coming to this country. It was a poll that was barely reported on. It was conducted in the fall after the occupation, fall of 2003, by the International Republican Institute. Now, the International Republican Institute is the international arm of the Republican Party devoted to bringing democracy to the world. What this poll was about was asking Iraqis If they were given the